Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, August 23rd, 236th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the PIO, somewhat wake, somewhat not wake, Chase Adams. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You are?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, what's the Band-Aid on the forehead about?
I cut myself shaving.
A little Cro-Magnon thing, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, okay, catch yourself shaving. That means you dropped something on the floor and you forgot to step back and you wonked your head.
Let's go with that story instead.
Yeah. You see, we're scrambling. He's learning not to trust anybody. Good deal. Okay. This afternoon, we got a full lineup of activities to talk about. School's back in session next week. We've got Humboldt and CR that have their students starting to show up on a regular basis on their campuses. We've also got the last little bit of summertime, three-day weekend, and fair time for the next 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. So, a bunch of different stuff to kick around, and we'll start doing it when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Chase Adams from the CHP. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Will Rogers. Okay, good. He's still awake over there. I just had to get verbal visual confirmation. Being a hero is about the shortest lived profession on earth. Even if you're at the county fair.
Yeah, even if you're a fireman.
Yeah. Boy, aren't those guys working hard.
Man.
And not under the best conditions.
Absolutely
not. Let's make it really hot and then make it a little hotter and then let you work in flames.
And then get some lightning strike in the wildlands area.
Yeah.
I guess they're having a pretty busy season.
Already. Does the fire season impact you guys?
It does. We have a lot of highway closures. I believe 96 was closed for some time at the Humboldt County line up there, north of Hoopa. And
So what happens? Do you guys just have a cruiser there and the flashing lights and
a lot of times
standing out in front of the hood, leaning and eating a sandwich kind of thing? Or
It
can't be too active if you're sitting there just saying you can't drive through.
Right, especially in rural areas, you don't have a ton of traffic. However, we usually, if it's a state highway like that, we'll babysit the closure until Caltrans shows up and sets up a hard closure sign.
Oh, so you guys are just kind of the temp?
Generally, yeah.
So kind of what we see with slides? Would that be the same thing for fire?
Very similar procedurally.
So you get the call, you buzz out there, you just kind of hang out, and then you get back into your normal routine? Or because I've noticed sometimes there's a squad car there. Sometimes it's just the Caltrans folks doing whatever.
Yeah,
doing.
Usually, like I said, usually we get the call, we roll out, provide the initial closures until they can get some hard set up. So that's a generally.
But you won't pop back in periodically just to see
if they're having anybody trying to jump their roadblocks or whatever. There's been times, especially I used to work down in L.A., especially down there, people seem to be more determined to get into the flames. And what we do down there is we take people from one area and send it up to the area where the fire was happening, so we wouldn't leave them completely spread too thin. So
yeah, that exposed.
Was a common exercise down there, but up here. Again, most of the areas where the fires happen are quite rural, so it's not as much of an issue trying to keep people out.
Well, and I would think if anybody was kind of using part of their mind, the concept of wind changing direction is pretty common. I mean, we see the fog blowing in and the fog blowing out. We see the wind swirling around just here on the coast pretty regularly. Yeah, if you step back a little bit and same thing happens in other areas too, like one ridge in, two ridge in, three ridge in. So we don't want you in the middle of this thing also and have it turn around and all of a sudden now you're trapped in your car in the middle of an area
Exactly.
And nobody's going to get to you.
With low-lying smoke and zero visibility and all the hazards that go with that.
Yeah. So are most people pretty routine about it?
Yeah. Yeah, people are usually, you know, I mean, they're in a bad situation. Potentially their house or property at risk, but that stuff usually can be replaced, and keeping yourself safe is what we're out there to try and accomplish.
Do those flashing signs help out? The big, the permanent ones?
The Caltrans signs that are digitally remotely controlled, they do help because they're real time. Any changes, if we're up there and say a fire gets contained or a slide gets cleared, it can be changed just that quickly. And Caltrans controls that. We don't, but we can relay the information. Or if Caltrans is already on scene, they already have people to change those signs.
That's why I was wondering if you guys had, not influence, but if you had direct contact. Because, you know, we will, in the mornings and the afternoons, go to your guys' site to see if there's any car crashes that are causing detours or any of that kind of
sure,
stuff.
Sure, sure.
I don't recall ever seeing one of those up on these signs, but if there was a big hairy crash on, let's say, 299, and the road was blocked, I would think that it would be prudent to use the sign just before 299 saying, major car crash, anticipate closure until plus 15 minutes or plus 20 minutes.
That's correct, and that's actually, when those do occur in locations, that would be... applicable to use those signs. We do contact Caltrans and have accident ahead, use caution, approach with caution, or road closed, or what have you. Also, a lot of times Caltrans will pull out a trailer sign, a digital trailer sign.
Oh, one of the slow children at work signs.
Yeah, but it's
on the trailer.
On the trailer, yeah. And it'll say you know, accident ahead, what have you. They also have orange diamond signs that just say accident ahead. So depending if there's going to be a long closure, if we're out there with...
Yeah, by the time those are set up, the truck's been there and it's been hauled off.
Yeah, but that being said, there is the times when there's multiple rollovers blocking lanes and we have an extensive extensive investigation to do. So we try, our main mission is to get traffic flowing again, but there's times when we have to do an extended closure.
How long does it take you guys to investigate whatever it is that's on the road that you investigate when there's a car crash to get whatever information you need before cars and trucks start driving over it again?
Well, it depends on the severity and gravity of the situation. If it's a minor property damage only collision, nobody really got hurt, we can get the information quite quickly. We don't do quite as in-depth of a report. If somebody gets hurt, then we take it a little bit more in-depth and then again, it depends on what evidence is left behind. Sometimes nobody hits the brakes. It's a clean impact over the side, what have you. And then there's not as much roadway elements to document or physical evidence left on the road. Now, if it's a rollover and there's fatalities involved, charges being filed for DUI, then we get a little bit more extensive and it's a little bit more time consuming.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. So, Chase, you got the fire stuff that's kind of out there that you can't really know where, but you know it's going to happen. You don't know how much, but you know there's going to be some impact. Can you take the same parallels and apply that to summer travel season?
Yes and no. You see a definite influx in traffic on certain parts of the county during the summer vacation and the good weather we have. Well, that's kind of a relative term as well, good weather in Humboldt.
Well, it was okay last week or a couple of days there. It was a little uncomfortably hot.
We had our yearly three-day summertime weather, but southern Humboldt stays beautiful for a long time, and there's a lot of RV traffic down there. And you do see an influx this time of year, and during the fall it stays nicer and greener here than it does a lot of places. You know, you get the fog hydrating all the foliage and whatnot. So people still come even after school starts and whatnot. So you can kind of set your watch by the influx of traffic. That being said, there's the whole economic. Do people have the cash to travel year to year? So you do see a difference or a perceived difference at least.
As you are going right now, you guys go down at Jordan Creek, right?
Our area, Humboldt Area CHP, which operates out of Arcata, goes down all the way from Jordan Creek, the north end of the avenue, all the way up to the Delmar County line.
I was going to ask you about Avenue of the Giants, and then I guess we still call it Prairie Creek, but I'm not sure. Who is it, the something so-and-so bypass?
Newton B. Drury.
Yeah, which really tells everybody exactly what that is.
Yeah, a little bit.
In those parts where it's the old highway.
Sure.
Carrying today's vehicles that tend to be a little bit bigger or a little bit, wasn't quite designed for them. And you've got the tourists in there. Are those areas that you will be a little bit more active in just because folks are driving maybe these rental RVs or they're not quite as familiar with them and the road certainly isn't as familiar to them because they haven't been on it before, or as contrasted to the bypasses? Do you kind of spend a little bit more time as the safety officers in those areas?
Well, we do. We do see, you know, tourist types get into a little bit of trouble from time to time. It's not a huge thing we see, but we see people parking over the white line and stuff because there are some narrow parts on those roads. There is actually on both of those roads some major retrofitting being done in the last few years. Just speaking from working both those areas, the bypass.
The ground is still slipping.
Well, we have...
And the moss is still growing on the sides? Yeah.
More or less. But what we have seen is Caltrans, especially on the avenue, replacing bridges, widening stuff, reinforcing some pullouts, and putting retaining walls and bulkheads in to make it more friendly for the kind of traffic you described.
With the moss that is growing up on the old highways, just because they're not traveled as much anymore, Will you folks look at that and go, okay, you know, guys, can we throw a little something, kill this thing before we get into the winter or the fall season when it gets a little slicker and maybe some of those rural runs are still being used by as many folks, but if they can't stop, obviously that sets things up for issues.
Well, we've seen it in the past, to speak out of experience, where there's been a huge windstorm or thunderstorm and there's a bunch of, not tree limbs, but just a thick layer of...
The needles
or the leaves. And that creates a huge Highway 1 as well. That can create a huge slick hazard. So we'll babysit the area where it's the worst again until Caltrans comes with their sweepers and their rigs. The moss issue, I can't really speak from experience because I haven't really seen.
Yeah, it's probably just more of a visual, but on the old highway.
Sure.
And
sure,
so I can see how the bypass you go through, and you can. Yeah, it looks like you trail through the sand.
Yeah.
That particularly after if you're there early,
mm-hmm.
or after a little bit of fog or dew.
So if there is an issue with that type of situation, what we do is we try and keep traffic safe, slow them down, get Caltrans out there to. Either sweep the road or blade the road or what have you.
Bicyclists, are those problems that you interact with this time of the year?
Not so much. The area, a lot of the people who tour through the area are what I'll call professional bicyclists, is that they have their safety. A lot of times they have their safety precautions, they have their high visibility gear, and they're pretty good about following the rules of the road and staying safe. And there's always the exception. Somebody gets out on the freeway, doesn't really know what they're doing, and there can be complications there. But for the most part, the volume of cyclists we do have come through the area, and like I said, touring, people do a pretty good job. And the regular drivers around here kind of know they're there and react to them pretty well.
As long as it's not a Schwinn with a banana seat.
There you go.
We're okay.
All there right. you go. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a kick to see somebody doing that? They'd probably have legs so big that he couldn't walk.
There you go.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams, California Highway Patrol out of the Arcata Office of Public Information Officer, not to be confused with Matt Harvey, community commenter out of the Garberville office.
Very, I appreciate you making that distinction. Yeah. We do not want any confusion there.
Yeah, one gets 3 minutes and one gets more, right?
There you go. I might, you know, maybe I can see if I can trade jobs with him.
Oh, see. I see. Would that be considered an upgrade, officer?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Sharing the love then, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay. County Fair is going on, kind of wrapping up this coming Sunday. Is the fair, the outreach stuff that you guys do there, how do you tell if it works?
There's different barometers, we'll say, to see if it's effective. We have a huge emphasis in our department in particular on education enforcement. I mean, education can be the $300 ticket you get on the side of the road, or it can be the pamphlet you read and like, yeah, it does make sense to slow down. So we try and come at it at both angles. And being at the fair, not only for times when we're there for recruitment purposes, but also to be intermingle with the community, try and educate.
You mean be normal?
Yeah.
Try to be normal?
Yeah. Try to.
Okay.
But we'll get out there. We'll hand out promotional material, safety material, just to kind of have the less harsh, for your checkbook at least.
Yeah, the soft touch, yeah.
Aspect with the community.
Well, and somebody's got to proof and make sure that the cotton candy is still at the proper quality.
Exactly.
Level.
Yeah. Plus, I'm a huge fan of fried food, and they fry a lot of a cornucopia, if you will, of items out there.
So you got your little check off map, and you go stand to stand.
Oh, I'm sure I will gain a total of 10 pounds at least by the time it's over.
Really? So. You are a big fan. Well, or are you spending a lot of time out there?
Both.
Okay.
Yes.
You've also got the 3-day weekend coming up after the fair.
Sure.
Is that, Labor Day, I would think there's just a lot more volume out there rather than as much of the drunk driving, after the lakes and going to the lakes and that kind of stuff. Is it a volume and numbers, or is it still a challenge because of the inebriation of?
Well, it seems, and again, I don't have any statistics in front of me, but in my experience, it seems to vary year to year. There's a lot of times when you do have the volume. It's kind of the last big bang of summer, last hurrah, and you'll have people doing the typical routes out to Ruth on 36, out to Trinity on 299, and you will at times see an increase of DUI arrests, just sheer number of DUI drivers. In the holiday weekends, if it's Memorial Day, 4th of July weekend, Labor Day, what have you. But, again, it's hit or miss year to year. You can't really sit your watch by like we talked about before, but there's a pattern when you do see more during holiday weekends. People have more time off, more in the mood to party. Maybe judgment issues about when they wouldn't usually get behind a wheel with anything to drink. And so I'd say you do see a general increase.
How much more difficult is it to drive with a boat or trailer? If it's an RV, a trailer with a car, it's a truck with a... If you've had a couple of drinks, than it is if you're not. I mean, not drunk necessarily.
Sure, but...
But let's say you're not stone cold sober.
There is a even if you're technically at or below the legal limit, you're not falling off your feet drunk. It's still, in my experience, in investigating DUI, not only DUI traffic enforcement stops and arrests, but DUI traffic collisions where people actually do crash. There are plenty of times when you're at or below the legal limit, but impairment can still be shown to some level. And it may not be an overt, hammered, drunk type of situation, but your delayed reaction or possible judgment issues just with those two or three drinks that are still technically allowed under California law, but depending on the individual, you can see some varied form of impairment.
So when you see something like that, have you arrested somebody who's only had one drink?
You know, a lot of times there's more going on than meets the eye, whether it's one drink. Even if somebody's telling you they had one drink and you do the field breath test and they kind of their story checks out, a lot of times they mix it in with either marijuana usage, prescription drug usage, or some other illegal street drug usage. So you kind of pick up on some of those other signs. And we have officers who are trained specifically to see those signs and symptoms.
Really, prescription drugs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen some of the most impaired people have been completely sober as relating to alcohol. They have had not a drop to drink. I don't even suspect alcohol to be a factor. However, they're completely, to use a
off the rocker
loopy. Let's go with loopy. They can't stand up. They keep repeating themselves, rocking. You know, they can't stand in one spot. They're rocking, looking for something to hold on to. Just terrifying to have on the road if my family was out there, just motoring public in general.
Just from regular prescription, following what the doctor told you?
Absolutely.
But the combination was something that somebody didn't pay attention to?
Well, even if it wasn't a combination, it was just a regular dosage and they were following their dosage guidelines, a lot of times you'll see on the doctors are usually real good about briefing the person, you know, don't operate while driving or using machinery. You'll find the prescription.
So some of those are legit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some of them, you know, you may.
Because doesn't DayQuil or NyQuil say that also? Of course, there's alcohol content in those, but.
Right.
You've seen some of those over-the-counter non-prescriptive medications really causing that impairment.
Yeah, especially in use with conjunction of other things. But even if it's straight prescription medication, we're not talking about 215 prescriptions or recommendations.
No.
But
that would almost be more embarrassing, I think.
I think it would, because a lot of times it's people who otherwise have sound judgment.
Everything's normal, and they
and taking a pharmaceutical prescribed by a physician, but if they have giant orange stickers on the bottles, and a lot of times we'll find the bottles in their possession after the DUI arrest, and we'll say, use caution or just don't drive while taking this prescribed medication. And so you're getting a lot of otherwise fairly responsible people going to jail and getting their vehicles towed for the prescription. And it's just the same amount of safety risk to the public and themselves as if you have a slam a six-pack of beer and then get behind the wheel or pop your Vicodin or whatever the medication may be.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Chase, school's back in session. I know for you folks it's a happy time because there's a lot of officers who have got the kids and they're excited because the kids are excited and going back to school and rah, rah. And then there's also the professional side going, uh-oh, we're going to have to park here. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to reacquaint the vehicle pattern, or traffic pattern rather, with the fact that school is open and we got buses. What are some of the concerns you have as the elementary school season is, it's next week?
Well, one thing I will say is we do what we can with our resources to enforce the school bus laws. However, a huge benefit to us, if there is a trouble area where you, as a citizen, where you commonly see, you know, maybe on your way to drop your kids off at school, where you commonly see people, you're stopped behind the school, red lights flat, the school bus, red lights flashing, you see people blowing by you, call us, let us know. That's one of the most effective tools we have when it comes to school zone enforcement, because then we can allocate our resources to that specific need and keep the kids safe that way.
All school zones are 25?
Correct. Within the zone, when children are present. And as far as I know around here, they are very well marked. Most of them have flashing signs and or radar signs to let you know you're going a little too fast.
I think it's probably more of inattentiveness than it is lack of signage.
That's true, but then you have people who are just in a hurry and gonna get their attention directed elsewhere, or in a hurry and are willfully saying, you know what, I don't see any kids crossing the road, even though the bus has the lights on, and they're gonna pull out there. I will.
A bus violation is a huge one, isn't
that's
it?
That's where I was going with that, as far as the education aspect of what I'm doing. I believe last time I went to court, it was upwards of, I think it was almost $800 for the first violation.
Oh, that's not as high as I thought or was hoping.
Well, that's not chump change.
A couple $1,000.
Yeah, and I believe the fine is on a scale, so it does go up first, second and third.
All you need to have is a little guy pop out in front of a bus.
Exactly, and I have little guys myself, so it's something that I'm not going to take lightly enforcing those things.
Not a lot of wiggle room on that one, huh?
No, not really.
Yeah, well, maybe that explains the bump on the head then, huh?
Probably.
Horsing around with the kids, yeah. Eventually, we'll get to the bottom of the top.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or whatever. Thanks for coming by. Have fun at the fair, and hopefully we won't hear any issues around schools.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.